But in the meantime, let's introduce our reason of why we thought that this was necessary and appropriate.
So we are just coming together to bring all of our viewpoints, our experiences, to give Black women the alternative thinking and just giving them information that we need to survive and thrive.
There are so many things that are avoidable, and through the work that we all do, we come in contact with these ladies, and we've just decided, you know what, enough is enough. We have to share this, these experiences that we have. We have to share this knowledge that we have. We have to go out there and help and save our sisters.
Welcome to another episode of Lead, Teach, and Style, and we are your hosts, and my name is Nora Muhammad.
I am Dr. Nicole Muhammad.
I am Shabri Muhammad.
And we are so glad that you are joining us. We hope that you enjoyed our previous two episodes, and it's exciting for me that we are on our second official episode of Lead, Teach, and Style. Mm-hmm. I hope that you have listened to the previous episodes, our intro episode and our first episode, to get an idea of who we are and what our goals are for this show, that you can listen on your podcast streaming app and also view on YouTube. And, you know, it is a privilege and a pleasure to be joined by such wonderful women to share insights that we have that we know can benefit the Black community, specifically our sisters.
Yes, I love being a part of this platform, and I love having it. I wish it was something like this when I was a teenager or even a tween growing up, you know, not having to go anywhere, but could be at home, maybe in privacy if I needed to be, and still getting those lessons in life, getting them from someone who cared, someone who's experienced them, someone who has nothing to gain besides, you know, just wanting to assist me in my development. And I know as we go further into these lessons, that there'll be so many topics that we'll encounter that everyone can find that one that's specific to them or the one they need for that day. I just wish that I had something like that when I was a younger woman growing up.
Right. And we just want to give information too, because we find that, you know, sometimes parenting and lessons that we have learned or not learned over the years, you know, that was very intentional. From my observation in the past and just from my own experiences, that parenting was very intentional and creating and fostering the things in our children and in myself and other people qualities that we want in ourselves and things that we want to know and achieve in our lives. So, you know, just giving the opportunity for other people to have that experience if they don't in their own lives, to have other women to share information and knowledge that can benefit them.
Right. And, you know, I know both of you ladies very well, and I am confident in saying that you both are parenting with intentionality. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to create specific outcomes with your children, and I'm trying to create specific outcomes with mine, and it appears that we are achieving our goals in that area, and I know that one of the benefits is having a wonderful support system, and we have a community that we can rely on, and that's just such a positive thing, a beneficial thing to have for any of us, whether you have that in your church, whether you have that in your social or your civic organization, and there are youth organizations that, you know, people put their children in. And so, you know, and we are very intentional with this podcast and with this show and the message that we are bringing. And this week we are coming to you, or this month rather, we are coming to you to talk about priorities and understanding how to set and establish your priorities, knowing what is a priority and what is not a priority. Last time we talked about, you know, strategically planning our lives, and if we don't know what our priorities are or should be, then we could be strategically planning around the wrong thing. So let's get into that conversation.
That sounds good. Sounds good. You know, there are priorities in every aspect of life. We have them, like you said, in our families and bringing up our families and keeping our families tight. There are priorities that we have to consider every day in our health, in our education. You know, these are things we have to teach to our children so that when the time comes that they have to make a determination between what they need, what they want, they have to figure out what the priority is. The priority is what's most important for me first, you know, and having priorities doesn't mean that you're not going to have enjoyment in life and have fun and have experiences and do things that you like to do. We just want to make sure that that isn't a deterrent for the things that we need to do immediately or things that should go first.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think is very significant to talk about is finances, because we are kind of indoctrinated with this belief of and focus on poverty. Mm-hmm. And even regardless of where we come from and our financial picture and what that piece is like in our lives, there's always the room to make some kind of movement or different decision in order to increase in our lives. And, you know, we've talked about some things, you know, prior. For example, women might think that they don't have what they need. Or that they cannot do something. Sister Shabri, you mentioned women who may not feel that they have the money to purchase items for their uniform for work. But these also might be women who are spending money on fingernails, eyebrows, hair,
lashes,
wigs, lashes, colored lashes, all these things that we think we need in order to be, I guess, presentable, to be beautiful. And even within that, even if we are in a mindset where we think we need them, which I would pose that we don't need those things, to be clear. But if we do feel that, then how about we alter how we go about attaining them? Let's do things, figure out how to do things at home. There are so many videos online and on YouTube that where you can learn how to do everything. You can learn how to do a gel manicure at home if that's what you want. And you can save money. You can buy supplies, everything that you need without going to the nail salon every week or every 2 weeks to get that done. So we have more than we think we need, or we prioritize things such as that. And we may want more money. We may want a better job. But in order to gain something, to have more money, to have a better job, there has to be some kind of sacrifice, some kind of change in our behavior. Because if we all we have is, let's say, $400 or $500 a month, and we continue to spend that $400 or $500 in the exact same way every month, then we're not going to get to that next step. That brings up all kinds of feelings and emotions sometimes. We might resent people who are making better decisions, different decisions with their money. And it's really not about other people. It's about what are the changes that we can make in our lives and in the decisions that we can make to get where we want to be.
Well, I think that you just made that point so well. And one of the things that we talked about before we went live on the mic is the example of finances and, you know, you have X amount of dollars and you have to get purchase apparel or a uniform, right? And you can take that same $20 or so and get a work uniform that you need to maintain your employment, or you could spend that $20 getting your nails done or getting your eyebrows done, right? And how many women choose not getting their uniform and thinking that their employer should just let them pass, or, you know, and then being upset when now you don't have the job to get the nails done or get the eyebrows done because we didn't prioritize our needs.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. So I have a priority in my life, and I think it's my first priority. And it's free. I'm not a very spiritual person. I believe in God, and I think that is important. I think that is very important for me to have something that I believe in that is greater than me, that connects me to people, that that it's limitless, so that I have no bounds, you know, in the great that I can do or the detriment, you know. And so I think getting your whatever your religion or your religious beliefs are, I think having that solid is a great priority to start with, because there are so many things in life that's going to be connected to that, whatever your spirituality is, however you define that. Mm-hmm. And for me, that connects me to a place that I need to go that I have to be responsible for, a place that I need to take my children to be responsible for, prayer, and knowing that there is something else that I believe in outside of this household, outside of myself, outside of everyone who's around me. And it holds me accountable to doing what's right when sometimes I may not want to do what's right. So I need that accountability of some kind of spirituality, some kind of religion, or whatever. I think that is a very good priority to begin with. It's free, you know, And it's just something to hold you accountable for in life, so that we're always trying to be a better person.
Yeah, you know, there's this new movement, or a movement, where a lot of our young people are talking about they're spiritual, they're not religious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are obvious reasons why religion has, put a bad taste in people's mouths. People have been using religion to shield a lot of bad behavior. And so, you know, when people talk about church hurt, mm-hmm. right? So there are many reasons why people stay away from what is considered organized religion. They say, oh, you know, religion is man-made, which is true. You know, the structure is man-made. And so there's a lot of questioning or some rejection of religion, so people do say that they're spiritual. But the key component, Sister Shabri, that you talked about was the responsibility that you have organizing with others. Mm-hmm. And if we are saying that we are spiritual and there's no manifestation of that spirituality, right?
Right.
In a structured way,
right.
there's no evidence. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence of that spirituality. And so for those who would consider themselves, and I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but for those who do consider themselves to be spiritual, whatever that means to you, then I would suggest that you meet with other people who share your point of view, who share what you believe in, who share your goals, so that in some way you are still organizing in a social way, mm-hmm. right? And then when you are meeting people who have your goals, who have like minds, then you can have a community then that you're bringing children together with, and now they're learning how to socialize with each other, you know, outside of the family, outside of their schools, so that we can still have some kind of social discourse and social responsibility in a, quote, non-religious way for those who are kind of pushing back on religion. And for, you know, for... It's tough because, like you said, Shabri, you know, being compelled or feeling compelled to do what's right because you have that
accountability,
mm-hmm. right? And so that's what we need in life. We need accountability, and mm-hmm. we have accountability when we are united and working together with others. And that's why I just wanted to express that part of it.
And in terms of that accountability piece, I think when you are uniting with other like-minded people, that it should go beyond what we might say is spiritual, that mm-hmm. we should see tangible things and look and expect for tangible changes mm-hmm. in our lives, right. That there are people holding us accountable to be better people,
right.
That our lives do start to look different, that you're challenged to improve yourself and mm-hmm. you find yourself in a more positive position than you did when you first started mm-hmm. in terms right. of interacting with that group of people or that community. And I just wanted to also, in getting back to talking about our priorities, and I just want to give people something to think about in terms of something to physically do to bring about change or to at least examine. Mm-hmm. So for example, we're talking about the finances. To get people to just take for, let's say, a week and write down everything that they spend each day. We might think we don't have the money to do what we want to do, but let's take a look and write down what we spend our money on each day. Is it that coffee? Is it the breakfast sandwich? Right. And then the lunch sandwich. And then if you're working overtime, then that the snacks, then we're at the snack machine. Everything, write a little like financial diary for 1 week and just examine and count up everything that is spent over the course of that week. And then start to look at where we can chip away. You know, it could be hard to just cut out everything, and or it may not be necessary to cut everything out, but see where we can cut back and make some changes and put that money elsewhere. Let's put that into our own savings so that we can put that towards a specific goal that we might have at the time.
Yeah, I think that's a way to see growth, right? And to culminate something towards a meaningful goal. So I think that's a great idea. You know, another priority that I believe it's important to talk about is our family, our children. And our children, we hear this often, they didn't ask to be here, right?
That's right.
And because they are here, then we are responsible for them we brought them here. Mm-hmm. And so I recall, and this happened 2 years in a row. It was picture day, and we were picking up our pictures, or, you know, now they have technology, so you can look at them on the computers. And I was looking at the pictures of my children, and another mother came in, and she sat down, and she was looking through the pictures of her child. And the child must have known that her mother was in the building, and she ran up to her mother, and she said, "Mommy." And the mom said, "Get away from me. I don't want you. I didn't call you." And this literally happened 2 years in a row on picture day. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, what does that do to the child? Well, how does the child feel? Mm-hmm. She's excited, clearly, to see her mother. There's nothing that child wanted more in that moment than her mother. And her mother immediately showed her rejection. Mm-hmm. "I don't want you." And, you know, if we're doing this to our children when they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and then when they're 11 years old and they're not coming home when the lights come on like you told them to, or mm-hmm. if they're 13 and 14 years old and they're not coming home from school, then you say, "This child, I can't do anything with her. She's out of control." When we had the opportunity when she was young to let her know how much she was wanted and needed, right, and treasured. And so I know we live in a society that is so much hustle and bustle. We live in a society with so much distractions, with our technology, with our phones and our computers and our tablets. But nothing should supersede the love and dedication and attention that our children know. Not guess, not, I guess my mom loves me. I don't see it. I don't know what that would look like. But, you know, moms are supposed to love the children, so I guess mine loves me too. You know, our children should know based on what we do, based on what we say. And we have to make them a priority, and they have to know that they're a priority. And we can start by telling them, "You are my priority." Mm-hmm. It's so important.
Yes. You know, I have an adult child, I have a teenage child, and I have a young child. And that is so different for each one of them, making sure that they are clear that mommy loves you. So for my young child, of course, it's hugs and kisses, because he wouldn't know that buying him things mm-hmm. shows love, or that paying rent, making sure he has a home and it's warmth there and there's food there and that he has stability in his life. Right. He doesn't recognize any of that as love. And I think it's so important mm-hmm. that whatever you're doing when they're younger, that once they are old enough to realize that, that they know that they've been loved, right, all along. They know that they come from a loving family, a loving household. I think my adult son knows that better than all of them, because he's out there in the world now trying to start a life of his own and being around other people now who mm-hmm. in college, you know, they're expressing the homes that they come from. Mm-hmm. So he's looking at his in comparison now, you know, because you don't know what you come from until you yeah. are out there and that's seeing right. other people's circumstances. It's like, right. You know, I didn't know we were poor. I didn't know we were poor because we had what we needed, you know, and a lot of times we had what we wanted, you know, but we didn't want crazy things that
when you were a child.
Yes. When I was a mm-hmm. child. Right. And you know, I hear a lot of poor people who come from awesome households say the same thing. We didn't know we didn't have because those things that we needed, we had them. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to be careful of how we show love, but to make sure that we're showing it. It may be different for every age. Mm-hmm. It definitely can't be something as frivolous that when a child becomes an adult, and they decide, did my mom love me? Guess what? Abusive husbands can buy their wives beautiful things right. as apologies. That's not what showing love is, right. you know? So we want to make sure those intangible things that are going to help that child when they get older and need to dig deep and, you know, come up with the character to solve problems, to come up with the character to do the right thing in a situation where maybe everyone isn't doing the right thing. But those things that they're going to be able to use that they can say, I'm so grateful to my parents for teaching me such and such. I'm so grateful to my parents that I know how to such and such. I think those are priorities that we need to give to our children. Mm.
And just giving our children the proper foundation, because every child needs to feel loved. Every person right. obviously needs to feel loved. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, social creatures, social beings. And when we're younger, we need our parents or whoever our caregiver is, doesn't have to be the biological parents, but whoever is at least that primary caregiver or those in that child's life, they have to feel loved. Because, mm-hmm. and they have to feel like they're coming from a firm foundation. Just as with a home, a building, mm-hmm. you can't build anything off of a poor foundation. And part of that, you know, as you said, with our young children, it's the affection. It's mm-hmm. the hugs and kisses. Mm-hmm. And it does change as you get older because the teenagers don't want all those hugs and kisses.
Right. No matter how much you try.
Right. But they still at every stage, you still need something. We know as adults, we still need affection. Mm-hmm. But if we're not giving our children that foundation in the beginning, they're going to go looking for it at some point, and they're going to get it in a way that we may not necessarily like mm-hmm. from a person that does not mm-hmm. care about them. And, you know, that's just such an unfortunate circumstance, the story of witnessing how that mother treated her child after being away from him or her all day. And that's the first time the child is reuniting for that day. And, you know, when you're a child, the greatest thing is having, mm-hmm. you know, if you're apart from your mom or dad and then you see them mm-hmm. after hours, it's so exciting. Right. And for that child, just imagine what's happening within that child. And if you saw that once, you saw that twice, mm-hmm. and if that's happening day after day, you know, we have to think, even if that is not, if that doesn't come natural to us, if we feel we're so stressed, we've had a hard day, we have a hard life, you know, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. When it comes to, you know, that's that first encounter you have with your child. Mm-hmm. You know what? You need to get yourself together in the car before you get out the car right. or off the bus, out the taxi. Right.
Take a moment. Mm-hmm.
Take a few breaths and say, I have to be what I need to be right. for my child.
Mm-hmm. Pretend.
And
well, you know what? And the thing is, you can start off pretending that your day wasn't as taxing or stressful, but mm-hmm. once you start interacting with your child, they open you up and they can give you joy. I remember coming home from work, and when, you know, my sons were very close in age, and I can recall coming home from work, and after work, what do? You have to make dinner, right? You have to get homework, and mm-hmm. you have a household that you have to manage. And I remember coming home and starting dinner, and my son saying, "Can I help?" And I just know, if he helps, we won't. It's going to take so much longer, mm-hmm. right? But how dare I not say, "Sure, honey, you know, come on," mm-hmm. and to give him a role. He's mm-hmm. asking because I know at some point he's going to be a teenager, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be saying, "Can you help?" Right. I'm right. going to be, you know, I'm going to want him to come, you know, close to me. So, you know, just thinking about those moments that we do have to stop and think mm-hmm. about life from our children's right. perspective, where they are at that time. And, you know, it's been a long day. It's mm-hmm. could be a hard day. Your boss could have gotten on your nerves. You know, work could have been more taxing than it normally is. But our children have nothing to do with that. And they still don't need any less because mm-hmm. we had a hard day, because we had a long day, because it was more taxing. Their needs don't change because we're frustrated. And so we have to stop and really think about it. And I know, you know, we're living in a time where folks are saying, you know, you can't always put yourself last. You have to put yourself first, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand how to reconcile that when we have children who also need us. That doesn't mean that we neglect the needs of our children. Because if we neglect the needs of our children at 4 years old, at 5 years old, when they're 15, they're going to have some things that's going to need more attention right. than we would have ever imagined or wanted in that case. So, you know, think about life from a child's perspective and their limited capacity to understand what it's looking like in terms of not getting the attention, not getting the hug, not getting the affection. I mean, I remember my great-grandpa, he would come home from work, and his nickname for me was Freshy. And, you know, he would come in the house from work at 6 o'clock every day, and I would probably be sitting on the floor playing, and he would, you know, kind of, you know, touch my head and say, "Hey there, Freshy," mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And, you know, my great-grandfather was a very, very, one of those very stoic black men. You know, you hardly caught him smiling. But every day, mm-hmm. I knew that he would come in and he would do that. And just that smallest of things just make you feel so acknowledged, so belonging to. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing that so many of our children lack is they don't feel acknowledged. They don't feel that they belong to, that they're almost not entitled to that kind of attention and affection, but they are.
Right. And, you know, we're talking about priorities. We talked about religion and spirituality, our children, our finances. And I think it's important to state that it's never too late to start, mm-hmm. you know, to start fresh, because you may not know all of these things when you first have right. children, or you may didn't design your life prior to having a life. And you may learn these things later on. Right. Don't feel like it's too late for you because you've reached some kind of milestone that you think, you know, you should have did all of this already. Don't ever think it's too late, because you can make the trajectory of the rest of your life right. better, that's you know, right. better than it would be. And our children are going to live on past us, and they have to still have these priorities. You know, some of them can be passed down, and some of them are just things that we've taught them. But it's never too late. It's always a benefit, mm-hmm. even if you have to start fresh, you know, in the middle of your mm-hmm. life. Another great priority is we have to be very careful about our health. Yes. You know, we live in a culture a lot of time where food, part of that culture is food, and that food may be something that's not good for you, but you're so used to it. It's all that you know. Certain things were passed down to you that are unhealthy, mm-hmm. but learning how to eat better, learning how to take care of our mm-hmm. physical body is a great priority, because all these things that we like to do, we may not get to do if we're sick, mm-hmm. if we are living long, we're living a long life, but it's not an enjoyable length of time, you know, because we have, you know, all these diseases and things that are food related and things that because they're inside of our bodies because of what we put inside of our bodies. So we need to study and learn what are good things for our body. I think our health is a great priority.
And I think that they're all connected. Our finances, our family, the way we eat. There's nothing, none of these things are separate.
That's right.
When we're addressing all of these things, then our life is better.
Right.
We change one thing and that aspect of our life is better, but it has a ripple effect. When our health is better because we're eating better, we're not eating fried food and takeout every day, then we feel better physically. Our lab work is gonna, mathematically, our lab work is gonna improve. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have longer lives. Our quality of life will be longer. We're not going to be in the hospital. And, you know, we have, I'm sure we know people who have body parts amputated because we're not eating the right foods. And so all of this is connected. We have to know our what we're putting into our minds and how we're interacting with our families, our children, what we're putting into our bodies, what we are, and our financial health. That brings stress. When you are worried about when you're going to have your next or how you're going to pay your rent, where you're going to live, that has an impact on our physical health too. Mm-hmm. You physically have changes in your body when you are experiencing stress, and when it's prolonged stress day after day, it's not just an incident that happened that you're experiencing, which we all have stressful events that happen in our lives, but if we have something chronic, that's negatively affecting our bodies and our health.
Right. So I think that's a great point. And maybe one day we can talk about the impacts of stress. I think that's important that we share that with our sisters, because stress is a big cause of dis-ease in our bodies. And, you know, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, we can share
strokes.
We can share, you know, the effects of that, and specific, we can get real specific with that. And we'll do that another time. We'll make sure we do that. I just think it's so important that, you know, talking about our health and, you know, we have one life.
That's right.
We have one life, and we can choose what we want to create in our lives. We can choose who we want in our lives. We can choose the outcomes that we want. And despite what we tell ourselves, we really can create those outcomes that are positive. And I know that many of us may feel challenged by the circumstances that we have, that may be the circumstances we were born in, our environmental challenges. But there really is, there's no reason for us not to have the lives that we want. And there are so many people who have success stories because they took ownership of the outcomes that they wanted for themselves. And so we can do the same. And you're talking about, you know, all of those areas, all of those priorities, you know, coming together, how one does impact the other. If you're spending time with your children want to get outside, they want to run, they want to play. So now you're at the park. Now you're getting fresh air. Now you're getting vitamin D. Now you're moving your body. And your children are also moving theirs and having a good time. And if you are moving your body and exercising, and you feel good about yourself, you're less inclined to put junk food or trashy foods, because now you want the energy so that you can be out there at the park with your children, taking those walks, going to the beach and feeling good, putting on a swimsuit because you are feeling good about yourself and your body. And now your self-esteem is up. Because all of that is going to impact our mental health, what we our relationships with our children and our spouse, our finances. I remember, and this may sound, it caught me off guard the first time I heard it, that someone said, you can tell what a person thinks about themselves by the balance of their bank account. And I just thought, wow. So I heard that. Am I saying that?
I need some work.
You know, but I understand. I understand the principle that he was trying to share. And so, you know, there's so much that we do have control over, our finances, our health, certainly our children. But also I just want to add, and I know we're going to be winding down. I just want to also add, we have to, prioritize those important people in our lives, not besides our children, you know, but you know, we have our parents,
We have our spouses, we have our grandparents, we have our aunts. You know, those relationships, those foundational relationships that we have, there's so much we can learn from our elder relatives, you know, working on the relationships that we do have with our spouse. I mean, you're living with them, you're interacting with them, you're raising children together.
And hopefully you value that.
And it is valuable, so mm-hmm. I hope you value that. And mm-hmm. then also, you know, the friendships that you have, understanding, you know, how to choose friends. I taught my children early when they would see me sorting through beans before I make my bean soup, and I explained to them the same way that we sort through beans to remove the rocks and debris is the same way you have to sort through people and in choosing friends or people into your life. Because not everybody who comes into your life is worthy of your time or aligns with your values. So, you know, those people that are important and special to us, we also want to value them too, because, you know, that is what makes a life, mm-hmm. you know, our family. And then being able to have the resources financially or otherwise to enjoy life the way mm-hmm. we want to, right. you know, and then also our greatest wealth, which is our health.
Right. Yes. And being happy is your great priority, that you have to do things for yourself. And I hope that prioritizing doesn't come off as saying, oh, I have to be boring. I have to sit around eating carrot sticks and saving money. And, right. you know, no.
Carrots are good, though.
Right. And prioritize doesn't mean that you leave everything out. Mm-hmm. Fill your cup up. Make sure mm-hmm. that you do things that make you happy. But don't overindulge or mm-hmm. indulge to the point where there's not enough for the things that are important.
Yes.
You know, so we talked about having... being pampered, how whatever your, you know, idea of being pampered is, it's okay to do that in moderation.
Right.
Nobody is saying that you shouldn't do nice things for yourself, that you shouldn't make yourself feel good. Because if we have all of these things together that we're talking about, families, husbands, children, finances, that means we have a career or a job or whatever we have. If we have all of this going on, sometimes there's nobody to stop and take care of us or stop and do things for us that is going to give us an outlet. So you have to make yourself a priority as well. Mm-hmm. However, in balancing things, don't overindulge in self and mm-hmm. making yourself feel mm-hmm. so good all the time that there's nothing left over for those things that are so much more important. Mm-hmm. For those things that once they implode, mm-hmm. we're not going to have any time for ourselves, or we're not going to have anything to give ourselves. So I think it's great when you have good friendships, people who you can talk to or even vent to, people who you can, you know, have a nice dinner or a nice lunch with. It's great to have places that you can take your children that you don't mind going to. If you're one of those kind of parents that just can't get with the child movies, or, mm-hmm. you know, you can't do the play dates, or you don't like, you know, the amusement parks. But your children need to get out and do things and grow a relationship with you. Do things that don't cost so much. Right. Do things that you are willing to do with them. So we're not saying don't make yourself a priority. Your happiness a priority. And those frivolous things, maybe they come sometimes. But just do those things in moderation.
And find happiness in your family. Mm-hmm. Right? Find joy in saving money for a rainy day, because rainy days come, you know.
Right.
So sometimes that involves should be changing our mindset around certain things, right?
Right?
You know, the greatest times in my life have been spent with my family mm-hmm. and my friends, and not necessarily spending a lot of money, but just being with them.
Right.
I had the most wonderful conversation that I've ever had with one of my sons just recently, and you know, I'm still energized, mm-hmm. you know, just having a one-on-one thoughtful, intimate conversation with my son, You know, and I'm so joyful because of it, because I know that we have a close relationship and we can talk about things.
Right.
So also, I think we just have to change our mindset if we think that those things are boring, you know, saving money or, you know, walking it apart. Mm-hmm. Changing our thinking around those things, I think, are important.
Right. And along those same lines, just prioritizing the time that we do have. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about, you know, I recall you talking about when your son wanted to help and that would take longer. Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with it taking longer. You know, yeah. Take that extra time and enjoy
yes.
that little boy who wants to help and be a part of mm-hmm. Of dinner. And because we don't have to rush through things.
Right.
You know, part of mm-hmm. life is taking the time to enjoy the people who are important in our lives. And the most important people are our family and support networks, our close right. friends, family, and just catering and fostering that. You know, mm. we might have, how many hours a day do we spend at work? And mm. those people aren't the most important
right.
people in our lives,
right.
but we give all that we have to give
right.
to those people, with those people, and then to come home and be impatient with
mm.
or, you know, to tell our child to get away or I don't want you.
Right.
No, that we have to take those moments and bask mm. in those mm. because they're not going to always be there.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, it just so happens, too, because I don't know if it's, you know, I don't think that it's by accident, but both my children love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
They love to cook and they cook well.
Mm-hmm.
They cook very well. But yeah, you know, we hope that what you heard today in this episode is you find it to be instrumental and beneficial. We hope that you apply it. If you do, we'd like to hear from you. You can email us at leadteachstyle@gmail.com. That's leadteachstyle@gmail.com. You know, the world really gives us a lot of distractions. So, you know, we can be more centered on finding out who liked the page or who liked our post, right? Or, you know, who's...
Or who didn't.
You know, who's following me, you know, keeping up with whomever on television or on social media. And, you know, those distractions are just to keep us as consumers. And we do have to consume sometimes, but, you know, consuming or being a consumer should not be our priority. Our families, you know, our financial health, our physical health, our mental health. You know, let's be more thoughtful about those areas of our lives, too.
Yes.
Any other thoughts?
Good. No, I think this was a very good lesson. Like I always say, man, have I had heard this,
yeah.
you know, when yeah. I was a growing teen, you know, maybe life could have been a lot easier.
Yeah.
It just, what you said also just reminds me of something I saw on social media too. It's probably a quote that's around, but just the fact that whatever we're going through, whatever our circumstances that we think might be so hard or somebody else just couldn't understand what we're going through, there's a quote, something along the lines of somebody else took that same situation that you have and won.
Mm.
And
wow.
It's true.
Let's be right. winners.
Let's mm-hmm. be winners. And we are winners.
Mm-hmm.
You are winners. We just have to choose it. You have to claim it, as they say. Claim it.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining us in this episode of Lead, Teach, Style. Lead, Teach, and Style. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube page. Remember, you can email us. You can leave us comments, questions. You can listen on any podcast streaming app, that's Spotify, Anchor, TuneIn, Apple. And if you just so happen to find that we are not on your streaming app, let us know so that we can be there too. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Lead, Teach, and Style. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Lead, Teach, Style. You can email your questions and comments to leadteachstyle@gmail.com and subscribe to the Lead, Teach, and Style YouTube page. You can find links to all in today's show notes. And don't forget to drop us a rating and review on iTunes.